You're listening to Love Starts Here, a podcast for smart, successful women who are ready to finally have the love they want and deserve. Whether your relationship status is single, dating, or it's complicated, this podcast is exactly what you need to take your love and life to the next level. And now, here's your host, certified love and life coach, Melissa Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Love Starts Here podcast. My name is Melissa Snow. I am a love and life coach, and I'm your host. Before we dive into today's topic, I want to let you know that the Know Yourself, Show Yourself Challenge starts next week on August 16th. This is a free challenge. It's 5 days to help you show up as your authentic self and finally find the love that you want and deserve. So as a challenge participant, you will get 5 live trainings each day of the week, actionable steps to take each day to help you feel better now and move closer to the love and life that you really want. You'll get the Know Yourself, Show Yourself Challenge workbook, and you'll get a chance to win over $500 in amazing prizes. Plus, if you sign up before Friday, you will also get 2 free bonus trainings about how to set boundaries and how to eliminate and avoid toxic relationships. This challenge is going to be unlike anything you guys have ever done before. It's going to be so much fun. You're going to learn so much about yourself. And by the end of it, you're going to have such a different view of yourself, your worth, of men and relationships, and of your ability to finally have the kind of love and life that you want and deserve. Registration is open now. I will drop the link in the show notes, or you can go to my website, www.lovestartsherecoach.com. All right, now that we got that out of the way, without further ado, I want to introduce today's guest. She is my very good friend. She is the most lovely human being, and she is an amazing divorce coach for women. Everyone, please welcome Holly McLean to the podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I am excited to have you here because as you and I were chatting about before I pushed record, I have never been through the process of divorce before. I've had some very devastating, horrible, long drawn out, unexpected breakups, but never actually gone through a divorce. So I'm excited for my listeners to be here and listen to what you have to say about actually going through that whole experience. So can you tell us a little bit about your own experience with divorce?
Yes. So I was married for almost 10 years, literally like a couple months shy of 10 years. And I had initially met my ex-husband in college. So we had some classes together and then we had reconnected literally 10 years after, no, about 8 years after graduating from college. So I got married at the age of 33 thinking, I'm older and wiser and making sound decisions. I've got this thing under control. I'm getting married once. My parents have been together forever. And that's just how it's going to be. And I'm going to be married forever. It's interesting, though, because at 33, I was definitely in the headspace of, oh my gosh, time is ticking away. And it wasn't necessarily a baby thing. It wasn't my biological clock is ticking, but oh my gosh, like I want somebody to pick me. I want someone to want to be married to me. I want to be married. So I was kind of in that rushed, panicky headspace, which in hindsight isn't the best headspace to be in when you're dating. Yeah. So we actually, since we had known each other, we dated for a year, only a year, and then we got engaged. And so I was married for 10 years and then ultimately, my ex-husband had asked for the divorce, which for me, it came as a shocker, surprise, sheer devastation, but it wasn't all rainbows and unicorns and happy things. I guess I just thought that we would never get divorced.
Right. Yeah. I think what you said about why you got married is a really interesting point because I am engaged now and my fiance has been married before. And he says something very similar about how you just reach a point, usually in your early 30s, whether it's baby related or something else, that it's just like you feel like this is what you're supposed to do. And you look around you and it feels like everyone else is doing it and everyone else has found their person and everyone else is like doing the adulting thing. And so you kind of just like convince yourself that it's probably a good idea that's what you should do.
Yes. And then it's interesting too, because for me, it became something almost like something that I was accomplishing, like when I got my degree or when I moved forward in my career, or, you know, it became something like that. And I think, you know, as you know, relationships are very delicate, especially when we look at the most important piece, which is who am I and what do I want and what kind of life do I want to live in partnership with someone else?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how you picked yourself up after the divorce and how you got to the point where you're at now.
Oh my goodness. Well, I have to share, you know, when everything first went down, which I call ground zero, I could barely function. I was emotionally just in so much fear and panic because there's this void when you look ahead and you're at the beginning stage of divorce or separation or whatnot. And it's just crippling to think of what your future is going to look like, because you've had this future plan and this relationship and this life and lifestyle with someone else. And so I was literally just paralyzed with fear and sadness and all of the big emotions and all of the painful emotions. And I literally didn't know what I was going to do. And at the time, I had had a lengthy career in education and counseling. And so I don't know why, but I felt as if, you know, I had nothing going on in my world. Like I was just falling off the face of the earth. And I mean, I still have my career. All of my pieces were still put together in that respect, but it was just this feeling of, oh my gosh, I don't know what's next. And honestly, full disclosure, I thought to myself, I don't know what's going to happen to me next. How am I going to take care of myself? Who's going to take care of me? Like, I literally felt like I wasn't even able to manage my own life at that point in time. And I had thought, I was actually raised Catholic, and I thought, well, I could always go to the church and become a nun. Like, that's literally where my headspace was. I'm like, somebody will take, the church will take me and love me and it will be okay. That was kind of where my brain was at that point in time. So from that, you know, all the little things in between, you know, help support me to get to the point where I am today, which back then at that point, the last thing on my mind was I'm going to be a divorce coach.
Right. Because I mean, you were focused on becoming a nun.
I'm like, yeah, I was thinking, hey, this is my plan.
These are my only two options. I will either be married to this man forever or I will become a nun.
Right. Exactly.
What you said is really interesting about like just kind of having this crisis of identity. I think everybody, whether they've been married and divorced or have been in a long-term relationship that then ended, there is like the grieving process of not having the person. There's the grieving the relationship, but there's also a grieving process of like grieving what you thought your future was going to be and what you thought your future was going to look like and who you thought you were going to be for the rest of your life, right? Because even if we're very independent and we maintain our own friends and our own careers and our own lives, there's still a part of us that identifies with being someone else's partner or being someone else's wife. And when that's not there anymore, that can feel very confusing and scary.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. And I think for me, looking back, as we know, hindsight is always 20/20. I look back and I go, oh my gosh, Holly, you surrendered so much of yourself for the relationship identity. I had my educational career literally on cruise control. And I loved that I had extra time so that we could vacation or we could do this or we could do that. And I really was veering away from myself and what I wanted and who I was. And I kind of got into this mode too of my relationship needed a lot of work and I was trying to work on it. And I focused a lot of energy and time sort of spinning in that. So by the time the divorce had come down, I was fairly identity-less. Like I had to do a major overhaul, rebuild from the inside out, ground up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get to the point of being a divorce coach?
Oh gosh. Well, toward the end of the marriage, before I realized the marriage was ending, I felt like I needed something more. It was interesting because it was this very deep feeling. I need something more. There's something more for me to know and do. And like I said, I had my career on cruise control. I was in counseling. I loved that work, but I wanted something in addition. And I had met someone who became a good friend and also my goddess coach. And she shared with me what she was doing. And that's how I started coaching with her. So we were friends first. And I had a coaching experience with her, and it was the most non-judgmental, loving exchange of words and ideas. And I mean, it was just this beautiful thing. As you know, coaching is very powerful. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to learn the way. I need to learn the way of coaching. And so I went and got my life coach certification and added that sort of to my repertoire of what I was doing, but I wasn't clear on what I was going to do with it. And I had worked with young people for so long at the high school age. And I thought, well, maybe I'll be a teen coach. And that's how that whole process in my mind was working. And then literally, maybe it was 2 months before getting certified and wrapping up coaching is when my husband had asked for a divorce. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to just pull myself up out of this hole and get through this and get certified. And then I had to table that for a while.
So one of the things that we talk about the most on the podcast and in the Love Starts Here Facebook group is we really focus a lot on the relationship that women have with themselves, how we identify ourselves, how we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, how we talk to ourselves, and focus a lot on our own self-worth and self-empowerment and self-love. So can you talk a little bit about what happens to your identity and particularly your sense of self and self-worth after a divorce, and then kind of how you go about getting some of that back?
Yes. I think what happens when you go through a divorce is it's almost like there's this unraveling of your identity and parts of yourself, because oftentimes you've been in the marriage, you've been co-creating with someone and building a life with that person. And so your identities start to mesh together, which that is a healthy thing. And if it's off balance, it could be a not very healthy thing. Mm-hmm. And so with divorce, there's this unraveling of who you are. And depending on how long you've been married, sometimes you jump out of divorce and you go, oh my gosh, like, am I back to my old single self from 20 years ago? Or who am I? What's going on? So it's essentially an unraveling. And then you're on the brink of rebuilding and re-identifying who you are. And I think sometimes the tricky part becomes when you look externally to what's on the outside for your identity or your rebuild, because the wild world out there is often reflecting things to us that are not so pleasant and not so supportive. So that's why I'm always sort of coming back to, okay, I need to get back deep inside of me and start looking at what's in there in terms of my identity now, because you're having to rethink everything again.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think that a person's self-worth is impacted by the divorce process?
Well, I think because traditionally in our society, divorce isn't perceived as a good thing or a healthy thing, though it is a life transition, just the same way that a wedding is a life transition or graduating from high school and moving on to college and becoming an adult is a life transition. So I think oftentimes what happens inside is, you know, we start to feel bad about ourselves, whether we're looking at it as this is a failure or this is a setback or Now I'm back to where I was in my early 20s on the market. What do? I have no identity if I don't have the identity of my spouse, because we look at our progression through life as sort of this uphill slope where we're like climbing the mountain and we're, you know, maybe going to college and we're getting a degree, we're getting our career going, then we get married, then we have babies, then we, you know, and we're reaching that pinnacle. And then we think of divorce as like this big slide backwards. Mm-hmm. And so it absolutely affects our identity as women. And I think sometimes we even take on a lot of the responsibility of, well, what did I do? And where did I go wrong? And those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I ask my clients all the time, and they probably get so sick of hearing me say it, but I ask them a lot, like, what are you making that mean? I think the things that you're talking about, like when we graduate from high school, we go to college, we get a job, we move up in that job, we get married, we have babies. We have a tendency to make that mean that we're doing it right, that we are doing what we're supposed to do, that we're successful, we're adults, we're mature, we're, you know, everything that we're supposed to be. And then when something in that series doesn't work out, like we get divorced, we make that mean a lot of things about ourselves. We make that mean that we didn't do it right, that we're a failure, that we're doing it wrong, that something's wrong with us, right? And so I think when we make it mean those things, that's what has the significant impact on our self-worth.
Absolutely. And so often we think that participating in a divorce or instigating the divorce or having been part of a divorce means that we have failed, or that we have failed at you know, keeping a family unit together, when most of the time, it's in hindsight, it's one of the most loving things that you can do for your family, depending on the position of your family at the time that the decision is made. Sometimes it's the best decision for everyone.
Right. Absolutely. And we can choose to look at the divorce however we want, right? Our thoughts are optional. So we can choose to look at it as a failure. We can choose to look at it as a huge step back, or we can choose to look at it as the next step in our life, the next step towards becoming the woman that we were always meant to be, towards having the life we were always meant to have, and accept that what we thought was right for us at one point is apparently not right for us anymore. But there's still a whole possibility out there, whether you're 40 or you're 70 or you're 90, you still have the rest of your life to live and put together in the way that you want to put it together. And you can make that mean whatever you want to make it mean.
I love that, Melissa, because that's something that we do often, is we'll sit down and say, how is this something that's positive? And we start looking and reframing and taking, you know, taking a deeper dive into, you know, how could this be something that's actually positive? And most of the time you find that the relationship or the marriage came to a close for a reason. And now there's this open opportunity to have the life that you want, have the peace that you want, or find the love and the relationship that you've wanted, that you're ready for when that time is right.
Yeah, absolutely. And the key is when the time is right, because I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast and you're listening to us talk about how is this something positive and why is this such a great thing, and you just got divorced, you're probably like throwing things at your radio and like telling us we're crazy. But you have to go through that point of like, this is horrible and this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, right? Like, you have to let yourself feel all the feelings, think all the thoughts, grieve, cry, eat ice cream, call your friends, whatever it is that you're going to do, and let those feelings be there. So I think that's important to note in case people are still in those beginning stages, that if you can't see on any planet how this could possibly be a good thing, there's nothing wrong with you. You're right where you're supposed to be. You just have to let yourself have those feelings and know that the only way out is through.
Yes, exactly. It's so hard to see even a foot in front of you when you're going through the process, depending on what stage you're in. And you've got to be patient with yourself and give yourself time to heal. I went through personally this space and time where I thought, oh my gosh, I need to rush and hurry it up. I was in my early 40s when everything was happening, and I'm like, I got to hurry it up because I'm a depreciating asset. I'm aging. I got to get back on the market, and I've got to be okay, and I've got to pull it together. And you know what? You just cannot rush that process. And as you share with your audience, it takes time, and you want to do this right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what are one or two actionable steps that you can recommend to our listeners, whether they are divorced or just going through a really traumatic breakup, or they're moving forward from that process? What are like one or two things that you recommend that people can start doing right now in order to start to feel better and start to move forward towards their new life?
Oh, okay. So I've got one in particular that I used during my darkest hours, and it works like a charm. I talk about it all the time, actually, but you can use it. I mean, I still use it today when I need a good little pep talk kick in the pants from my deeper self. So this might sound a little abstract at first, but follow me on this one. Essentially, what you're doing is you are writing a letter to yourself. So you're talking to yourself. You're writing a letter to yourself from your higher self. And I'll give you some other options to do this as well, if that doesn't quite resonate. So when I was in my darkest hour thinking, I can't imagine, I see no light at the end of the tunnel. I don't even know what the next 20 minutes looks like. I would sit down and I would pep talk myself from my higher self. So I would sit down and I would say, you know, listen, girl, these are some of the things that you've been through in your past that you've made it through and you've come out the other side okay. Mm-hmm. And I would list a few things, whatever naturally comes up, and you would be surprised. It will blow your mind what will come out of you in that moment and bring you some calm and some relief. Mm-hmm. So that one from my higher self, I would write a letter as if I am my higher self to me in that moment.
Good.
Mm-hmm. You can flip it. And instead of using your higher self, depending on what you need, I have written a letter to myself from courage when I needed it. And I was scared as hell about whatever situation was going on or what direction I was going. And I wrote a letter to myself from courage, and that helped. And sometimes you just need it from compassion. If you don't have a friend to call or someone that can tell you it's going to be okay or tell you to rest and not freak out, write a letter to yourself from compassion.
That's really good.
So that's my ground zero, got me through some dark, dark hours. Another one I want to share with you is actually something that I did when I was in my goddess circle. It was an activity that we did one evening for each other, but this one you can adapt and just do it on your own. You essentially call three friends and you ask them the same question. And this is when you need a reminder of who you are and that you're strong and that you're of value. So this helps with the self-identity piece. What walks in the room when I do? What shows up when I do? When we spend time together, why do you spend time with me? What do you love about me? So essentially you're asking your friend for three things about you. What do they love about you? Ask your nearest and dearest.
Yeah. I think that's so good, because when you're in that space, you can forget who you are, right? And it's really hard to see yourself as other people see you when you're in that dark space. But having those conversations with the people that love you and the people that you're closest to will help you get a glimpse of what you are to other people and how other people see you and what your identity still is, even despite the fact that you're going through this divorce or you're in this dark place. You're still that person. You're still the person who walks in the room at the same time as joy. Your friends still see you as that person that they can depend on no matter what. And so it's really, really smart to give yourself that reminder of who you really are.
Yes, because I think when we go through a divorce or a horrible breakup, or we're struggling with grief, it's almost as if that becomes our identity. I mean, I walked around feeling like I was this failed marriage, yeah, forgetting all of the light that I bring into the room, or the joy or happiness that I bring to others, because there's this little cloud that's following you around.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to remember that life outside of the cloud still exists.
Right. Exactly.
And that someday the cloud will be gone and you and your life and your worth will still exist.
Yes. I love that.
That's awesome. So before we wrap up, tell everybody listening what the best way for them to get in touch with you is if they want to learn more about your services, what you do, and how to work with you.
I would say the best way would be to visit my website, which is Holly McLean Coaching, and there will be links to social media, et cetera, there.
Awesome. So that's hollymcleancoaching.com, and I will drop a link to Holly's website also in the show notes so you guys can reach out to her and connect with her there. Holly, thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Love Starts Here podcast. For more tips, tools, love, and support, be sure to join the Love Starts Here Facebook group. To learn more about how you can work one-on-one with Melissa to take your love and life to the next level, visit www.melissamsnow.com.